Good afternoon. You are tuned in on the Radio News Bulletin right here on Eagle FM, your number one talk radio station. It's Monday, the 18th of November, 2024, and the time is 30 minutes past the hour of one. Thank you for tuning in as we begin yet another week with comprehensive updates and inclusive reports on what is making waves in Namibia and around the globe. My name is Dolly Menes, bringing you today's edition on the Radio News Bulletin. Be sure to check out the Eagle FM website, download our app, or tune in on stereo from local affairs to world news. Eagle FM brings you up-to-the-minute coverage on everything from business and health to the latest in technology. Stay with us during your lunch hour as we bring you news to keep you well informed. Don't forget to call in studio to be part of the conversation. Now, leading our news bulletin, the 22nd Dr. Theo Ben-Gurirab Lecture Series under the theme Unlocking Economic Potential, Harnessing Tourist Attractions and Mining Resources to Drive Infrastructure Development and Economic Growth in Kunene Region, presented by the Minister of International Relations and Cooperation, Pierre Mushelenga. Mushelenga pointed out the geographical location advantages that make Kunene region the ideal location for industrialization, making it more accessible to investors and tourists alike.
With its strategic location along Namibia's northwestern border and its incredible access to both land and maritime resources along the Atlantic coast, Kunene region is poised to be a pivotal economic engine, fostering prosperity and improved livelihood for its residents and indeed the nation at large. The region's potential aligns closely with Vision 2030 and the country's national development plans, which prioritize infrastructure development, economic diversification, and sustainable resource management in our noble quest to industrialize. At the same time, Kunene's developmental aspirations align with SADC's Regional Indicative Strategy Development Plan, RISDP 2020-2030, which seeks to strengthen infrastructure, economic integration, and the sustainable use of resources in Southern Africa. At a continental level, these efforts equally speak to the African Union's Agenda 2063, which calls for Africa's inclusive and sustainable growth, sustainable development, and economic diversification. Academic literature like the publication by Kumbusina and others titled Physical Infrastructure and Economic Growth attests to a link between infrastructure development and economic growth in developing countries, particularly in respect of road, energy, and communication infrastructure. The expanded roads and transport networks in this region will link our country to neighboring provinces in Angola and make the region more accessible to investors and tourists alike. Director of Proceedings, ladies and gentlemen, to address the first of the two sectors highlighted in today's lecture, that being tourism, the region's potential remains significantly untapped, having already identified a unique combination of unmatched natural beauty, cultural heritage, and wildlife offerings. I propose a dedicated approach to infrastructure development and regional branding to take advantage of low-hanging fruits. I encourage you to think broadly and adopt a global mindset as leaders, administrators, business people, and residents of this region. Consider the development of targeted marketing campaigns that showcase Kunene as a destination for adventure and ecotourism. Seek out and engage international travel platforms to elevate this great region's visibility. Moreover, enhance your cooperation with our neighbor to the north and increase your efforts with Angolan tour operators to create cross-border tourism packages in line with SADC's Transfrontier Conservation Area Initiative. This sort of initiative has the potential to attract international visitors interested in multi-country experiences in Southern Africa. The EU Agenda 2063 goals is to have world-class interactive infrastructure that crisscross the continent and for Africa to be the preferred destination for tourism. In this respect, we look forward to seeing the establishment of more ecotourism lodges focus on sustainable business and conservation, as well as adventure tourism. As far as our rich cultural heritage is concerned, this should be harnessed to initiatives such as annual international cultural festival, which would hold international appeal. Now to our second sector of the day, the mining resources. A research titled Mining on Communal Land as a New Frontier, a case study of the Kunene region, described Kunene region as a copper belt region. This region has various mineral deposits like darkpace and cerussite, caprite, malachite, chatukite, and wolfenite specimens. Further, there are associated minerals like bismuth-rich, motramite, pyrite, and bismutite. Further, a study commission...
Mushilenga Feather said that a study commissioned by the Institute for Defense Analysis revealed that the Kunene is among four regions in Namibia with rare earth-bearing minerals.
By the Institute for Defense Analysis, titled Rare Earth Elements in Namibia and South Africa Considerations for U.S. Investment, reveals that Kunene is among four regions in Namibia with rare earth-bearing minerals. There are both large-scale and small-scale mining activities in Kunene region. Let me start with small-scale mining. I propose stepping up efforts to formalize small-scale mining by providing training, licenses, as well as equipment to miners so as to increase their productivity, safety, and income. Ultimately, the goal is to give them access to broader markets. A link to this is the establishment of small-scale mineral processing facilities within the region, which would create jobs particularly to the youth by adding value locally. This is in tandem with the SADC mining vision, which highlights the need for inclusive, community-centered mining approach, as well as the AU's African mining vision, which advocates for beneficiation as a pathway to greater economic value of Africa's minerals. With regard to infrastructure for resource extraction and export, it goes without saying that investments in infrastructure, such as roads and transport networks, will make it easier to transport mine resources to port for export. This includes completing road links from key mining areas and development of the Angra Pia Harbor in due course. Director of Proceedings, ladies and gentlemen, in the digital age which we find ourselves, it will be remiss of me not to talk about communications and digital infrastructure in a discussion as important as this one. As a former Minister of Information and Communication Technology, I have a special appreciation for the benefits to be derived from improved internet and digital connectivity by both the tourism and mining sectors. These benefits in a practical sense, look like remote launch and tourist operators being able to better connect with their customers and service providers all over the world, while mining firms can benefit from real-time data logistics management. Enhancing Kunene's digital infrastructure supports both national and African priorities and goals for digital transformation, including the SADC industrialization strategy and roadmap. Ladies and gentlemen, in conclusion, I should say it must be reiterated that the Kunene region has achieved much through dedicated leadership and local initiatives, such as the Youth Development Strategy and the Informal Supplement Upgrade Initiative. These programs already provide essential social and economic support. However, there is yet room to expand them to ensure inclusive growth. MIRCO pledged its resources within its mandate to support efforts to develop targeted programs to build skills among the youth in mining, tourism, and entrepreneurship, putting them to seize the opportunities that existing and the new projects discussed today bring. This aligns with the AU's Africa Decade for Technical, Professional, Entrepreneurial Training and Youth Employment 2019 to 2028. Which emphasizes creating economic opportunities for African youth. Furthermore, I encourage you to build on the progress collectively made in developing Kunene region thus far and invite local and international investors to participate in the region's growth, focusing on sustainable development that respects both environment and communities. By unlocking tremendous economic potential through tourism and mining, we shall build an economically vibrant region that stands as a model for sustainable realization of opportunity in Namibia and beyond. I thank you.
And there you had it from Pia Mushalenga, that is the Minister of International Relations and Cooperation, speaking about the Dr. Theoben Gurulab lecture series under the theme of unlocking economic potential, harnessing tourist attractions and mining resources to drive infrastructure development and economic growth in the Kunene region. Now, we do go for a commercial break, but stay with us as we are just getting warmed up with today's top stories. And do remember to download the Eagle FM app if you haven't already, where you can be able to access other documents as well, so that you can be well informed, even right on the go. For now, for a short commercial break.
Lipura nenge no wapogwa eva tere urikoni maondo tuto ingida ashikeka peno nwe kutite opoye ekukurile. Oshafa fana nongeshefa ili mehola mo iho etike kovano ile koshuana. Konongeshefa ya pumbo kukaraya kovano. Okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi toda njuka. Okupitira oipindi konu konda doi nawa. Mune uto otukwetira o special ange tashake ngeshefa omarude dayo loka. Opone ushendife nawa nokumona oijabweli nawa. Ninge pata fanona Monica ko Eagle FM. Onora itatu imwe mbali heari nola natu. Heari bali no heari ile konderewa. Mura hetatu natu bali o hetatu watatu o mafelane Eagle FM. The Eye.
Welcome back. And if you're looking to stay in the loop, dive into this edition for detailed coverage on all the stories we are previewing and so much more. Here's a sneak peek of what's inside today's The Villager e-paper. 26 million Namibian dollars of Bank Windhoek sustainability bonds allocated to agriculture. Financial Intelligence Center, that is FIC, introduces two governance structures. Over 2,500 graduates from Velvicha University, first cohort. Unemployment among men contributing to high gender-based violence cases. Would you like this and more delivered to you? Well, you can get it right by texting on WhatsApp, that is on 081-200-4144. And you get your tri-weekly dose of social and economic news every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Simply do send a text message so that you may be able to receive that news. Also, do take note that on our Eagle FM page, you can be able to access the Namibia Green Hydrogen Program titled Localizing Green Industries in Namibia. You can also be able to access Namibian political parties' party manifestos, as well as the media budget review policy speech for 2024-2025 financial year. Other than that, you can also be able to access the 2023 Namibia Population and Housing Census release of main results, that is by the Namibia Statistics Agency. Get that and more as you download the Eagle FM app right on your mobile app and be able to get news on the go and let nothing pass you by. For now, we do take another trip to the marketplace as we prepare to bring you more news. Also, do take note that our studio line is open and you no longer have to wait up until the end of the show to be able to call in and air your opinions and contributions. Do dial in on 083-288-401 and be part of the conversation right here on the Radar News Bulletin.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one.
The category is Go TV Local Movies. And go! A movie we watched yesterday where two officers have to prove themselves by catching a kingpin. Yes,
keep going.
It's named after the main character who rescues his daughter from a life of crime.
Luvinda.
That's right. Yeah. A young soccer player who tries to step out of his father's shadow.
Go.
Ataman.
Yes.
For local shows that tell our stories, like Green Our Boys, Spiel On, and Guardians of Eden, to make your festive lekker. Subscribe to GoTV Super for only 317 Namibian dollars. GoTV. Love it.
The men's conference was well underway this Saturday, and now we now speak to Executive Director of the Namibia Marriage Council, that is Paulus Mbandu Hawanga. Good afternoon, sir.
Yes, good afternoon, Ravi.
So I understand that the men's conference took place this Saturday. How was the conference and the turnout of the people?
The turnout was indeed very amazing, and it went beyond the expectation. Because being part of the NGOs that were invited by the ministry to come and be part of the panel discussion, it turned up very well, because the turn up that was expected, as were to work hard to host at least 800 men, and we surpassed 900. They all. Trade Fair, Kavango Convention Trade Fair Center was full up to capacity. And these are men who came from, including our, our security clusters and our persons living with disabilities and and traditional leaders. So the record in terms of the attendance is in well positioned by the Ministry of Gender Equality, Poverty Eradication and the Social Welfare. The deputy director is having records. But otherwise, the turn up on the part of the men, even from the Namibia Marriage Council, we also extended an invitation to the National Organization of Parents in Education, student leaders, political parties from various political parties, NGOs. No, it was well attended, I should really say. The turn up was very, very encouraging. Men were really coming ready, even from the various churches. It was very impressive.
And the discussions that took place at that event, were men very open to speaking about their challenges, and were you able to reach your target with what you had in mind or what you had planned on the table to extend to them?
Yes, the program was actually set by the ministry with the Women and Action Development Team, and also with the leaders from the NGO known as Regain Trust, of course, who were teaming up with the ministry and having us on board. We took note of very crucial topics, especially ranging from the very hot topic that does not want to get to fade off the agenda. This is the very one of gender-based violence. Coupled with domestic violence, is where we're coming in more as Namibia Marriage Council, because of what is happening in marriages, in the homes, and men are really being at the front of all issues that are being brought forward with regard to statistics related to gender-based violence. So, and we were discussing on that. A presentation was actually given by Mr. Vincent Natali, the deputy director from the ministry, who was then sharing the detail and the statistic on gender-based violence. He was also highlighting some of the recorded causes and the effect that it has on the family, especially on the men. We're also discussing specifically the men themselves, how they are being identified as the one who are the perpetrators of gender-based violence. And we're also discussing about the positive masculinity, because the theme was actually surrounding this very issue of us men, how can we use the nature of our creation in a positive masculinity, not necessarily in a negative way. So his presentation was well detailed to enlighten the men who were in attendance, which was very much appreciated, because it also covered the issue of effective communication, that if we embrace effective communication, then we are likely to not to resort to physical all the fight and so on. He also explored the issues of feelings. How we should, we as men, how can we express our emotions, our feelings? Because men were also engaging us in the panel to say, men are having frustration that are caused by many issues that have been put to them by their gender, the women.
Yes.
You see. So he presented also on anger management, how we as men, we should be able to really manage anger, conflict resolution. So we were really encouraging them also the importance of mental health.
Mm.
We also touched on that aspect to say, listen, you might see the person look healthy, but mentally there is a battle in that man's mind. And how should we go about managing this? And it's where we were encouraging the men to have access to service that are availed from the Ministry of Gender and the service that have been availed from the various NGOs like Women Action Development and the Regain Trust and of course Namibia Marriage Council and many others. And we're just telling them that no, there is a support system that's in place. We were also enlightening them to look at the, because they were raising issues of maintenance for the children and the men, the eviction orders, how the eviction orders have been issued mostly in favor of the women. So this issue was also discussed, and we also enlightened them on the Maintenance Act of 2003, where we advised them that this law, this legal framework does not only provide support for women. The only thing is that's why we are availing this conference. That's why it was organized by the ministry and the NGOs to make sure that men, they have to be guided that the law does not discriminate. And no one is above the law. And on the part of the police, the detectives from the gender division, they also came in and provided statistics and made an emphasis that no, men also can go and access the service, even to the police, even at the court, to put in maintenance for themselves if they are married, if their spouse is working and is not supporting them with the children. The law is not only in favor of the woman. So we were actually exposing to them to realize that these offices are open to both men and women, but the women are taking advantage of the access to these services, but the men, they tend to say, I'm able to manage. At the end of the day, it's affecting them and the result to gender-based violence.
Okay.
I think these are some of the topics that were covered during the, of course, the engagement came through. Men were saying, listen, the issue of rape, they were really raising a concern that no, I think we have been considered like, men are only raping women. Maybe the evidence, when a man come, they were saying, when a man come to the police and report rape, the evidence will not be so obvious like for a woman in terms of penetration and so on. They were saying it seems the police are not taking the evidence from us men with regard to when we are raped by women. But then the detectives were able to come in. I wish they could come in also and explain on the part of the Namibian police, which was actually not an issue. There is an issue of saying, women are keeping secrets regarding the biological fathers of their children.
Yeah.
And this was a very concern, because men were saying, later on you are told this child you gave a name, it's not your own, it's for somebody else. So something comes out in that line. So, and it's not easy to take it from on the part of the men. And this is also something that the women should be provided a proper guidance, so that when they get children, they should be honest. There should be a system that is helping, so that these women shouldn't always have two or three men and they opt to choose one who is working. You is not working, they will deny you the child. Simple, while they know that this child belongs to you.
Yeah.
So now, these are some of the issues.
Now, yes. It's obvious that there is more that needs to be done. Yes, in regards to men, particularly, and the society, and educating them. Now, my question comes in to say, apart from this annually, I take it that you'd hold it annually, right?
Yeah, from the part of the ministry, this is what they promised us in this conference.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and it's rotating, it's going from one region to another.
Yeah.
Because, yes.
Okay.
So this time it was around Okavango East region.
Has there been a platform that has been put in place for men to be able to access and seek for help, whether mentally, emotionally, support in that regard, apart from just waiting for a conference once in a year?
This was one thing that we celebrated as a success for this conference.
Mm-hmm.
Apart from the support system that was then made available to the men, they still came out strong. The men feel that still need money to be done. Even this one day conference was not enough.
Yes.
Most of them, they still went back to with some of the issues. So, and what they were saying, especially not actually in the interest of my organization,
mm-hmm.
but they were saying what we want to see, an office like Namibia Marriage Council.
Yes, indeed.
Should be put in place in the Ministry of Gender.
Mm.
So that where couples, those who are in a relationship, should be able to access this the service of counseling.
Mm-hmm.
And they were remarking to say it should be brought to the level of the secretary or the constituency, you see. Mm-hmm. So that men, instead of them taking their issues straight to the court, and then they issue these restraining orders, or, you know, which they were saying, most of the time the man is the one who's been evicted.
Yeah.
They feel it's becoming unfair.
Mm-hmm.
So this is what one thing that we're saying. There should be an office that is specifically for those who are in a relationship, in marriage, where they can access in the government, where they can sit and talk their issues and be guided to resolve their problem. Not to go to court,
mm-hmm.
not to go to the gender, to the police, but an office which is just put there for them. And this office can also then be accessed even by a man. The men can just go there and sit around the table with them and so on. And they were also saying the issue of the marriage certificate.
Mm-hmm.
Because on the part of the Namibia Marriage Council, we're saying, it seems people, they were asking us what may be the cause. I don't know if you had asked that question also, which was mostly coming from all the media. What is causing this? What? How can it be prevented? You know, and then we're saying, you see, people are entering relationship, entering marriages without a pre-relationship, pre-marriage
counseling.
Coaching guidance. Yes, counseling. And then there, it's like someone really getting into the car and begin to drive and you don't even have a learner.
Mm.
You do not even study how to obtain. You don't even know the road signs of this journey of relationship and marriage. Now, when you differ, it's always just a confrontation. Now, we were saying it would be good. The issue of effective parenting is where we must start. These absent fathers, child neglect should be prevented and the government should come in strongly.
Indeed.
To make sure that children, you know, the children should not grow, especially the boys. The boy child should not be seen growing without the father figure, you know, and so on and so on.
Indeed. So, now, Tate, Hawanga, obviously we won't exhaust this topic enough.
Exactly.
It will need a bigger, more platform to exhaust it. But thank you so much for making time for Eagle FM and also just shedding around this topic. I'm sure other men who are not able to attend, perhaps in other regions, will take something from it.
And we just want the Minister of Gender to come through with this recommendation. Many others. You know, we are good sometimes to host conferences, having these policies, but mm-hmm. we are not investing financial resources. This is from the Marriage Council. This is where we stand. There should be resources put into these programs so that we can have access to help our people.
Of course. Thank you so much.
You are welcome.
Okay.
Lipura nenge no wapo wa eva tere uliko ni mando tuto ingida Ashike kapeno nwe kutite opo yue ekukulile Oshafafana nongeshefa ili mehola mo iho etike kovano ile koshuana Kono ngeshefa ya pumbo kukaraya kovano Okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi toda njuka Okukwetira oipindi konu konda doi nawa Mune uto otukwetira o special ange tashake ngeshefa omarude dayo loka Opone ushendife nawa nokumona oijabu ili nawa Ninge pata fanona Monica ko Eagle FM Onora etatuimwe bali heali Nola natu heali bali no heali Ileko derewa Mura hetatu natu Bali o hetatu watatu Oma felane Eagle FM The Eye
No matter where you are If you have a mobile
Welcome back The Namibia Green Hydrogen Program hosted an economic outlook and assessment of the socio-economic benefits of the Green Hydrogen event this morning.
Great news to all! June 7 Adventure Tours is inviting all local people to come and experience an amazing quad biking adventure in the dunes. On the activities, quad biking and sandboarding, June 7 is giving back to the local community. Everyone is welcome. Location by June 7. Parents, please bring the children to have fun. For more information, please call 081-624-9665.
Enjoy your lunch.
The best just got better. Bharti's fiber packages that give you unbeatable internet speeds at unbelievable prices. Enjoy speeds of up to 10 megabits per second, starting from just $500 Namibian, excluding VAT. Sign up now for these fiber packages that are pushing the boundaries of innovation, so you can enjoy more connectivity, faster browsing, at even more affordable prices. Visit your nearest Bharti's offices to find out more, or go to bharti.africa/Namibia to sign up online.
The Namibia Green Hydrogen hosted an economic outlook and assessment of the socio-economic benefits of the green hydrogen event this morning at the Avania Window Hotel. To explore and understand the socio-economic benefits of green hydrogen to Namibia, with the aim to become a green hydrogen superpower in the coming decade by positioning itself as a leader in the emerging markets and an international exporter of green hydrogen. The mission of the green hydrogen is to actually to dramatically accelerate the production and utilization of green hydrogen across a range of sectors globally. It will push to rapidly decarbonize industry like steel, cement, fertilizers, shipping, and aviation that have so far made limited progress reducing their emissions. The Green Hydrogen Commissioner James Munyupe says that green hydrogen allows small medium enterprises to get involved in an industry that is evolving and not just participate but to build the whole thing. He acknowledged GIZ for its supporting, noting that it would not have been possible without their support. Munyupe highlighted that Namibia should work together as a nation for the green hydrogen to actually work.
Multinationals will get involved. But green hydrogen in particular allows an SME, a small medium enterprise, such as Hai Iron, such as Dowris, to get involved in an industry that's emerging and not just participate, not just provide services, but in the case of Hai Iron, build the whole thing. And of course, tomorrow we will be taking Namibia through the media, journalists that are coming, some youth to that plant, to actually look at the practical implications of all of the theoretical models that we will be sharing with you today. Of course, that would not have happened again without all of the political support from our leadership, but today we should be celebrating the ingenuity of our youth, both in the form of Hai Iron. Frank Mungunde is in the room. He wants to start a whole academy. Really, this particular sector, this emerging green hydrogen sector, I think has been carried forward by our youth, and I think Namibians should be extremely proud of the ingenuity showed by those youth in Namibia, and they probably deserve a hand of applause as well.
The Green Hydrogen Council Chairperson, Obeth Kanjoza, says the socio-economic impact assessment provides a roadmap for understanding the tangible benefits of green hydrogen for our communities. He says the country has long recognized the urgency of diversifying Namibia's economy. He also says that by embracing the transformative potential of green hydrogen, the country aims to address critical socio-economic challenges, including employment, poverty, and inequality, among many others. He adds that green hydrogen is not merely about energy, but also a comprehensive development strategy, promising to create new industries, open doors for skills development, and enhance Namibia's competitiveness on the global stage. He noted that the findings will be deconstructed to ensure a comprehensive understanding of the benefits of green hydrogen to Namibia. Kanjode highlighted that these findings will inform policy choices, ensuring that the industry benefits every Namibian, regardless of their geographic or economic backgrounds. He says that the collaboration between public and private sectors, civil society, is essential to realize the full potential of green hydrogen in Namibia. He clarifies that Namibia is not taking the investors' money and putting it in the sun or wind or the sea for something they do not guarantee a return for. He adds that he believes Namibia has the expertise and determination to overcome the socio-economic challenges.
The theme of today's discussion, an economic outlook, assessing the socio-economic benefits of Namibia's green hydrogen industry, is timely and it is profound. I believe in it with my whole heart. It resonates deeply with Namibia's vision 2030 and our commitment to sustainable development. Imagine those many years ago before diamonds were found. Somebody must have crawled the deserts, doing other things unintended, and here was a shiny stone. That sets the diamond industry that has benefited us for those many years. Long before that was found, we had the sun, the wind, and the seas were looking forever blue next to our coastline. The science that we were taught at school, the hydrogen that H something in the periodic table of elements, the nitrogen, all of that put together, and the good use of those resources are no different from a geologist trolling the mountains and valleys, sleeping among snakes, scorpions, and getting sunbetted. At the end of the day, it's a big hole that gives us returns. This is no different as far as I'm concerned. We put the science together. We understood the sun. It shines. It does all kinds of things to living animals on earth, photosynthesis, for food, etc. The water is life, that we know. Put these things together and you have a source that could potentially decarbonize the earth and give you resources that you can move on to for a future that's sustainable and protects the climate that we all need for human survival.
This is still on the radar. Stay tuned. We are taking a quick trip to the marketplace and we'll be back with more news.
Lipura nenge no wapo wa eva tere ulikoni maondo tuto ingida ashike kapeno nwe kutite okoye ekukulile oshafafana nongeshe faili mehola mo iho etike kovano ile koshuana kono ngeshe faa ya pumbo kukaraya kovano okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi toda njuka okupitira oipindi konu konda doi nawa Mune uto, otukwetira o special ange tashake ngeshe fa omarude dayo loka opone ushendife nawa nokumona oijabweli nawa ninge fata fanona monika ko Eagle FM onore tatuimwe mbali heali nola natu heali bali no heali ileko derewa mbira hetatu natu bali o hetatu watatu omafelane Eagle FM the eye
No matter where you are if you have a mobile device You can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
Eagle FM, hello.
Good afternoon, madam.
Yes, good afternoon, sir.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Is this Juliana Habi? No.
Dolly.
Oh, it's Dolly. How are you?
I'm good. How are you, sir?
So I just want to join the rest of the Namibians.
Okay.
I know many of them, they are celebrating the green hydrogen and all those issues that pertain to green hydrogen.
Mm-hmm.
We have heard of the industry, we have heard of the contribution in terms of skillful people, semi-skilled, and all the sectors.
Okay.
I'm so happy because I listened to the presentations, especially from one of the lecture, which is economic agriculture.
Mm-hmm.
And we know now very well that it is us to organize ourselves and organize our young ones to give them proper and correct information as to where, because we are told all the sectors have got the potential. The figures are there, the contribution per annum, the type of jobs, the number of jobs that will be created, created because of the nature of that, the green hydrogen. So it means that we should really join hands. I've heard of some of the presidential candidates who are saying that they are not going to entertain green hydrogen. And I'm now wondering, if that is the case, when are we, how do we want them to reduce and eradicate some of these poverty instances and things like that? So please, when you are told that the media, please disseminate more information to those people, because a lot of people, we know graduates and other things, because they are asking themselves, what is in there for us? Let's start explaining these things. So please, we must also congratulate our political leadership and all those who were involved in the shaping our these things. So thank you very much, madam.
All right.
God bless.
Thank you.
Okay, remember our line is open. You can call us in studio at 0832 888 401, 0832 888 401. Now, our next news, the city of Windhoek this morning honored Chief Abraham Kotokeni Kanime, the founding head of the Windhoek City Police Services, by renaming the headquarters from PA Davet Building to Chief AK Kanime Building. The occasion coincides with the celebration of the Windhoek City Police Day, observed on November 18th each year. My colleague David attended this event, and he will bring you this report. David, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Dolly. How are you?
I'm good.
Yes, I'm very happy to be here. Indeed, it was a historical moment today when we attended the renaming of the city police headquarter building to the founder and the first head of city police, Chief Abraham Kanime. Yeah, it was a historical moment where you have different speakers, and you also have different dignitaries. But let me take on what is very important in this case.
Yeah,
there was a very beautiful speech which was given by the mayor, Queen Kamati. Yeah, she indicated that honoring of Chief Kanime and naming him after the building is a recognition of his dedication, work, commitment that he did to the city police.
Okay.
Like if you can remember, like he was the first head of city police. Indeed, he's the founder. Yeah, and it also came at the same time where they celebrate the 18 years anniversary. Yeah, the very important speech, which was also maybe need to be taught in this case, is a speech by Chief Ileka, the current chief of city police, who indicated also, first he honored the commitment of city police, Mr. Kanime, but he indicated about the strategy of city of Windhoek, city police, especially when it's come to combating crime. Here he indicated the value of, working together with the community, the value of advancing in technology. And you see, when you compare what is being said and where the city police is now compared to what it has been, based on the background which were given by different speakers, you realize that this guy, Chief Kanime, he created that foundation and he mentored a lot of people. And, it was also a matter of redesigning the city. Because if you can remember very well, first that building was named after a former colonial master, PA the vet.
Yeah.
Then they say no, because of the history of suffering. If you can remember, even Mr. Kanime himself indicated that the guy who was named after that building, he contributed immensely to the suffering of the Namibian people, especially during that time of people moving from old location to new location. If you can go back to the history of Namibia, but in this case, renaming a city after a national, we can say a national hero, somebody who play a role. It also says a lot about the development and also renaming of the city. Maybe what I can tell you here is a matter of creating a new legacy in developed Namibia, creating a new legacy, and also honoring what people have done while they are still there alive. And in his accepting speech, Mr. Kanime, I think he indicated only the mentorship about people that brought him to that area.
Mm-hmm.
And he indicated, because city police is one of the security cluster which is protecting the city, and is also one of the agency which is well known to combat crime.
Yeah.
And in this case, I think to me what I observe, especially when you look at economic building.
Mm.
In this case, if you align it to the economic building of the country, you realize that when you have tourists who are coming to the city, when you have imported people like VIPs from other countries, or even investors, city police is one of the agencies that also provide protection to those guys, and it's also protecting strategic sectors in the country in that regard. I think that is what I can say for now.
All right, thank you very much, Shombe.
All right, Dolly, bye. Okay.
Now let's take a listen to Queen Kamati of the city of Windhoek.
Unquote and unquote, to confer honoraries upon any person who has, in the opinion of the local authority council, rendered service to its residents, read together with Regulation 66 of the Windhoek Municipal Police Service Regulations, which reads as follows. The chief executive officer, with the approval of the council, may honor or award to any person who is or was a member for the extraordinary diligence and devotion in the performance of his or her duties as such member, such honorary, monetary, or other rewards as he or she considers appropriate under circumstances. Hence, council adopted the street and place naming, renaming guidelines to enable this process. Therefore, honoring Chief Kanime is a recognition that our past can be source of strength for our future. And through the renaming of the building, we affirm our commitment to diversity, equality, inclusion, and just society. Today's event was also fitting to ceremonialize Chief Abraham Kotokeni Kanime's name here for generations to come, as a testament to his indulging contribution to Windhoek and Namibia. Chief Kanime, today I prefer these words of acknowledgement to you on behalf of Council, that this is also an opportunity for you to look before you and witness the fruits of your sweat and dedication. Your efforts and collaborative approach have made a difference, not only in assisting the Namibian police force in curbing crime in Windhoek, but also in providing assurance of safety of the city's residents, business, and government as a whole. Honorable Minister, distinguished invited guests, ladies and gentlemen, the day we have witnessed a significant transition from conventional policing to smart policing strategies, with increased technological advancements in preventing and combating crime by law enforcement and managing traffic law enforcement. This transition, first laid out by the first head of the City Police Service, is now being actively implemented by the current head, who has worked tirelessly to ensure that the service remains true to its core principles while embracing innovation and progress. Building on this foundation set by the first head, a total of 130 CCTV cameras were then in operation, marking the beginning of a sustainable efforts to leverage technology in the fight against crime and to improve public safety. Since then, the current head has overseen the expansion of this initiative, of course with partners, when we would really like to applaud MTC for their contribution to this significant milestone achievement. increasing the number of the CCTV cameras currently to 400, reflecting the service's ongoing commitment to leveraging technology. As we continue on this path, I want to reassure each one of you, as well as Chief Abraham Kanime, that Council remains fully committed to supporting the service through this transition. We will continue to invest in the tools, training, and resources needed to help you succeed. The use of technological equipment is highly embraced by Council in order to continue to optimize our service delivery to make Windhoek the safest city in Africa, and of course, why not the globe? A self-regulating city when it comes to traffic law enforcement, a reality. The Windhoek Municipal Council has also set a strategic objective to expand the number of cameras to 2,000 by 2027. We say we will be a caring and smart city by 2027. So it's a challenge to Council as well. Lastly, as the service continues to evolve, I want to take this opportunity to emphasize the importance of discipline to our members. I urge each one of you to remain steadfast in your commitment to upholding discipline. This is because discipline is a cornerstone in the fight against crime and disorder, and together we will continue to make a real and lasting impact in our community. Dear service chiefs, I also want to wish to remind all of you, all of our uniformed officers, that as you execute your duties, you do so in collaboration with members of various security clusters represented here today through planning and implementing joint operations. The fact that we are seeing members in the Namibian Police Force uniform, the Namibian Correctional Service uniform, is a testimony to the cohesion that exists between City Police Service and sister services. I would therefore like to thank the Lieutenant General Joseph Shimwelao Shikongo, the Inspector General of the Namibian Police Force, and Commissioner General Rafael Hamunyela, Commissioner General of the Namibian Correctional Services, for committing members to join their brothers and sisters in commemorating their day and sharing the renaming of the City Police Headquarters in honor of Chief Kanime today.
Don't forget to stay connected with us. Follow Eagle FM Namibia and the Villager newspaper on Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, and X for the latest news updates. Right after the On the Radar, Ludolf Iyambo will be bringing you on Kunde Nathingi, followed by the Home Run Show with Dwight and Homewood, kicking off at 16:30.
Lipurane ngeno wapungwa eva tere ulikoni maondo tuto ingida ashike kapeno nwe kutite opoye ekukulile oshafafana nongeshefa ili mehola mo iho etike kovano ile koshuana onongeshefa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi toda njuka okukwetira oipindi konu konda doi nawa mine uto otukwetira o special ange tashake ngeshefa omarudi dayo loka opone ushendife nawa dokumona oijabweli nawa Ninge pata fanona, Monica go Eagle FM, onora estatuimwe bali heali, nola natu, heali bali no heali. Ileko, derewa, mura hetatu natu, bali o hetatu watatu, o mafelane, Eagle FM, the eye.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
Welcome back. Now let's shift gears and dive into the latest regional, continent, and international news. Since the introduction of Kenya's seaweed farming, the seaweed farming has grown in popularity. The plant has now grown in at least 20 villages and has been a welcome replacement for cassava and maize, whose cultivation dwindled due to climate change and droughts.
The expansive Kenyan coastline is every holiday lover's dream. But along with the scenic landscape, there is so much more to these waters. A part of Mombasa's beachfront is now a seaweed farm, creating a lifeline for many locals.
Along the coast of Kenya, most of the fishing is actually undertaken by men. So what it means is that as the men go fishing, the women and the youth don't have a place in fishing, so they remain at home. So the seaweed interventions came in to support the women to be able to have a livelihood.
According to the Kenya Marine and Fisheries Research Institute, seaweed was introduced in Kenya in 2008, and the uptake by these coastal women was impressive. It's now grown in at least 20 villages. In 2022, the industry produced almost 100 tons of seaweed worth more than $30,000.
Seaweed farming has contributed a lot to paying for my children's school fees. Even when my husband gives me money, I already have my own money from growing seaweed. I just add it to pay for the children's school.
Seaweed takes 6 to 8 weeks to mature. The women ensure it doesn't exceed its harvest size, or else it becomes difficult to manage. After harvesting, the seaweed has to be brought here for drying. It can take 2 to 5 days, after which it is ready for packaging or making other products like seaweed powder, soap, and shampoo.
We are hoping to, at least in Kenya, to have an industry which can extract the pure carrageenan so that we farmers from Kenya can able to export the carrageenan to other countries rather than exporting the raw material, because with the raw seaweed, it's less value.
Farmers in this area previously grew cassava and maize until recurring droughts made it impossible. Now the benefits of seaweed farming are evident in villages like Kibuyuni, where infrastructure and electricity are possible because of the cash crop. A UN report states that the global market for seaweed has tripled in the last 2 decades, from $5 billion in 2000 to $17 billion in 2021. Wanja Mungai, CGTN.
Shifting to Ukraine, Biden allows Ukraine to use longer-range U.S. missiles in Russia.
For the first time, President Biden allowing Ukraine to use long-range missiles to strike inside Russia. It's a major reversal in U.S. policy. U.S. officials say a reason for the change, the 10,000 North Korean troops arriving to fight alongside the Russians. In his nightly address, Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky says the missiles will speak for themselves. The focus of Ukraine's new capabilities expected to be in Russia's Kursk region. That's where the North Korean troops have joined some 50,000 Russian troops trying to recapture the land Ukraine seized months ago. The U.S. had already given Ukraine shorter-range missiles, only to be used on Ukrainian territory seized by Russia. Secretary of Defense Lloyd Austin speaking hours before the policy change went public. Biden's reversal comes 2 months before he leaves the White House. President-elect Trump claims he is the only person who can bring both sides together to end the war. Perry Russum, ABC News, Washington.
Donald Trump names Brandon Carr as the new chairman of FCC.
And President-elect Trump has now named the senior Republican on the FCC as the new chairman of the FCC. Brendan Carr is a longtime member of the Federal Communications Commission, and he recently criticized NBC for letting Vice President Harris appear on Saturday Night Live just before the election. Carr says that was a violation of equal time rules regarding candidate appearances on TV. NBC ended up giving Trump equal time after a NASCAR race. And Carr also criticized the FCC for not finalizing nearly $900 million in broadband subsidies for Elon Musk's SpaceX satellite internet, Starlink.
Legendary broadcaster Anne Mukabe shares her story, insights, and memories as she leaves ZNBC after an incredible 36 years of dedicated service.
Today we celebrate a remarkable career spanning 36 years of dedicated service to the Zambia National Broadcasting Corporation, ZNBC. None other than Anne Mukabe, Head Corporate Affairs in ZNBC, joins me on the program to reflect on her incredible journey and shares insights gained from her illustrious tenure. Ma'am, it's good to have you on the show, and sad to say goodbye, but it's good that you'll always be one of us.
I don't like to say goodbye either, but it's nice to be here, Hezron, and thank you so much for the lovely introduction.
Beautiful. It's been an awesome journey. How would you describe it, looking back 36 years as a young Anne?
Time flies, doesn't it? I came when I was very, very young, straight from college, I think 19 years old. And so much has happened in the 36 years. It's almost unbelievable. I was looking at the what used to be the water fountain outside, and so much has changed in the institution. This is the only family I know, apart from my nuclear family. I've worked here 36 years, as you've said. It's been nice. I started out as a very young presenter, and then the corporation gave me the opportunity to work in different regions. I've worked in Kitwe, come back to Lusaka, back and forth like that, and obviously in different positions. And yes, it's emotional for me, but I'd like to thank management for giving me the opportunity to serve as producer, as regional controller television, head of operations and production. And now I sit at the table with the decision makers in the corporation. So it's really been an honor, and I don't take that for granted.
Wow. I mean, 36 years, what's your word of encouragement to someone young who's just aspiring to walk the path that you have taken?
Be the best that you can be. Somebody is bound to notice. If it means coming to the studio with your scripts, do that. Going to edit your programs with your log sheet, do that. Somebody is bound to obviously notice you. And in good time, you receive your reward.
Awesome. And you look pleasantly like one that has received the reward. But I'm just a little bit into the media landscape. How would you describe the evolution of the media landscape so far in terms of, you know, you've been 36 around and you've seen how we have evolved. How would you describe it now, what it was and what it is right now as you?
I will tell you that as producers, we used to actually go on location, on assignment, with traveling bags, because we had to pack our U-matic tapes in there. And our cameramen had two pieces of equipment, the recorder and the actual camera. But now you've seen what has happened. It's just one piece that they carry. And for you as a producer, you don't even carry anything at all, because your material is being recorded on a very small card, which is obviously in the camera. You don't have to worry about that. It's the cameramen now who are in charge of that. So technology has changed a lot, and I think it makes producers very efficient, makes production crews very efficient in the manner you discharge your duties, because everything is happening in real time. And it's a good thing with the technology that has come through. When you are going to download your material, and you do that all the time, Hezron, you know that you don't waste time, even when you are editing. Things have been made so much easier. In our time, it was quite difficult, but we maneuvered around that, and all you needed to do was to make sure that, you know, you are there with your cameraman, knowing what is happening. But sometimes when tapes got cut, you lost your material just like that. Not anymore. So you have no excuse not to produce any programs. Things have changed so much. Now you can actually read your scripts off the autocue. Although the autocue came much later on, but those days you were just physically reading from your script. it's so much easier now with you guys, the way you're working. And we just sit back and marvel at what you're able to achieve.
We have reached the end of today's episode of On The Radar. Thank you so much for tuning in. Stay informed, stay connected, and be sure to join us again tomorrow for more updates and in-depth coverage. Ludolf will be taking over from here, keeping you company until the rest of the afternoon. From me, it's goodbye.